could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Father, we're so thankful to be here. Lord, I'm thankful that this time of service doesn't depend on my strength or on me, Lord, but we depend upon you right now to speak to us. That we would open up our hearts, open up our minds, that your will would be done here with each and every one of us, that we would not be distracted, we would not be deceived by the enemy, but our hearts and our minds would be so focused upon you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in John chapter 15 and just have a couple verses right here for you. After I read the verses, I'll kind of tell you why this has been on my mind for a while. John 15, verses 1 and 2. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. What I wanted to talk to you all about is about the pruning process, about the cutting process, about what takes place. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, when you cut something, you change it, right? It changes. And I think some of y'all have heard my ice cream dessert story where Crystal had made this ice cream dessert, and she cut me a piece of it, and it was this little bitty piece, and I'm like, what's up with that piece? Why are you giving me such a small piece? You know, I'm hungry. I'm not like the kids. I want some more. This was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and she's like, if you want a bigger piece, go cut it yourself. I deserve that. So I went in there and with my knife, and I'm trying to cut it, and it's frozen. Have any of you ever tried to cut anything frozen? And I'm digging and cutting and digging and cutting, and the knife slips, and it goes right down this finger and just lays me open. And I don't know if it was the worst part was the cut or the worst part that it ruined the ice cream dessert. I won't go into too much details. Don't want to gross any of you out, but from that moment on, this finger has not been the same. It cut nerves or something in there. I didn't go to the hospital or anything. I just wrapped it. But it was a deep cut. And like even today, it's bothering me. It's like got a tingling, numb, mean sensation. And it's weird because sometimes it'll do it and I'll go weeks and not even feel it. And then other times it like really bothers me. But that cut forever changed my finger, okay? If any of you've ever cut your body, you know that it changes, it transforms it. There's scars, and I could go through here and name other scars, but I won't bore you with all my boring stories. You all know what it's like to have a cut and to see something transformed, or people that's had tumors, it's had to be cut out, and it forever changes the shape of their body. And so here we're reading that our Heavenly Father is a gardener, and that sometimes He's going to cut, He's going to prune back branches in our life. He's going to prune things out of our life. And I was thinking about this, and this was where I really got going, is because I've got these little hedges in my backyard, and I've got a little electric hedge trimmer, you know, it's not even that powerful. And I thought, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to make these hedges look right. And so I'm starting to try and shape them. Have you ever seen anybody like it? I see these guys at like Taco Bell or McDonald's that have the pretty landscaping. Man, they're just taking those hedge trimmers and doing all this, and they get done, and it's like, wow, that looks awesome, you know? So I'm thinking in my mind, I can do that. And I'm like, Crystal, what do you think? What do you think? Well, you missed a spot here. So I get all done. I think, okay, it looks pretty good. And I needed Hayden's help with something, so I holler at him to come out, and he takes one look at the hedges. He's like, Dad, did you trim the hedges? And he starts snickering like, they look terrible, you know. He's making fun of me. I'm not much of a hedge trimmer, okay? I'm not very good at pruning. And with practice, hopefully it'll get a little better. And the other day I was sitting in the house and I noticed one's even doing like this. It's a little, and I thought it looked so good when I was on top of it. But I was thinking about my Heavenly Father in my life and in your life. And see where I'm trying to shape and prune those hedges. And I'm not very good at it, but if you got somebody that's good at it to come in, they could make it into something really nice. And, you know, we've all seen it at businesses and stuff, that they can transform just some branches and brush into something, even works of art in some cases. And, y'all, we have a Heavenly Father that's better than any artist or professional gardener or anybody else that's looking down from heaven, pruning our lives, transforming us into something magnificent, into something wonderful. But when I looked up the definition to prune, it actually means to clean or to clear. You know, and I thought about, well, like pruning, you're clearing out the bad and you're getting rid of the old to make way for the new. And I was just thinking about my Heavenly Father and what He's pruned in my life and what else He still needs to prune that still needs to be taken out. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in." And what really got me reading this verse was about the Lord's discipline and that He's looking at us as His children, so He's disciplining us, He's pruning us, He's transforming us. You guys see things in your kids, you see things that sometimes they need a spanking, sometimes they need correction, sometimes they need that discipline. Why? To teach them, to transform them, and so that they become productive citizens someday, so that they become men and women, hopefully of God, so that they're not the kids when you see them coming, you're like, oh no, you know, I never wanted my kids to be that kid that when they saw them coming, it's like, oh no. So we try and shape, we try and mold, we try to discipline our children, and our Heavenly Father is doing the same thing. But what really caught my eye, and I had to read this about six times, was the Son, He delights in you. He delights in you. And I thought, that's awesome to think about. And you think about with your own children, when you discipline them and you see that they finally start getting it right, and you don't have to discipline them all the time, you don't have to keep getting on to them, and what, it kind of makes you feel like, wow, they're finally starting to mind. They're finally starting to get it. And I think about my Heavenly Father with my life and what He's doing in me. And I wonder, though, you know, it's like sometimes He's probably looking down from heaven going, wow, Pete's finally getting it. He's learning to keep his mouth shut. He's learning not to pick up his phone. He's learning not to turn on he's learning. And then other times I think He's probably going, oh, I got to take him back to the woodshed. He's not doing what He knows He's supposed to do. And the discipline of our Heavenly Father, the pruning, the transforming of our lives, the shaping us. Hebrews 12, verse 4 is where we're going to next. And it says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son." So why is the Lord disciplining you? Because He loves you, because He is shaping you, because He is pruning you, because He is transforming you, because He's molding you into something beautiful. You know, when I've been disciplined before, I didn't think it was very beautiful. I didn't think it was wonderful. But I know that I've learned from those times in my life when I was disciplined. And our Heavenly Father is looking down from heaven, and He's pruning us, and He's disciplining us, and He's trying to transform us into something beautiful. And so, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm getting in trouble, I always try to do everything I could to get in less trouble. You know, if I knew a spanking was coming, I was going for something a little less, just a chewing, you know, on or whatever. I always tried to, you know, and even in our justice system today, what you always hear about the plea deals. Why do they do that? Because they could be facing 20 years in prison, but they'll plea down to 5 years or whatever. Why? Because they're trying to make their punishment less. But he's saying, don't make light of my discipline. And I wonder how many times we're being disciplined and our Heavenly Father is disciplining us and we're just whining and crying and we're never getting it. We're never changing. We're not allowing that pruning to take place in our life to where we're being transformed. Jump down to verse 7 through 11, and he says, endure hardship as God, as discipline. God is treating you as sons. You know, when I read this, and I remember, like, I didn't grow up in the older school. I don't know how many of y'all remember Dennis Hanby, Jackie Hanby's husband. And you know, he just passed away a few weeks ago. But I was over at his house one day, and he was talking about this kid, and it wasn't his kid that kept acting up at his house. So he just picked him up and swatted him and spanked him, set him back down and said, if when you're in my house, you're going to follow my rules. And if you're not, you can go home, and spanked him. And I thought, wow. He spanked someone else's kid, you know? Now, if we even spank our own kids, they're crying child abuse, let alone if I picked up one of your kids or you picked up... Well, I don't think you guys will pick up Madeline and Hayden anymore, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, so it was a different time back then, but what I'm trying to say is God's saying, you're my child when I discipline you. Because I delight in you, because I love you, because I want to prune you, because I want to transform you and make you into something wonderful. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. You know, have any of y'all ever had a thought when you see a kid in Walmart or a restaurant acting up and having a fit, and you go, if that was my kid, and you, yeah, if that was your kid, they'd be acting up just the same probably. But what do? We say, I'd let them have it. I'd do something about that. But you don't get up and you don't do anything about it because it's not your child. But if it was your child, then hopefully you really would do something about it. And y'all, that's what God's saying here. You're my children. So there's going to be discipline. There's going to be times in your life that there's going to be the pruning take place. Verse 9 says, moreover, we have all had human fathers who discipline us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Our Father disciplines us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. If you were tuned out, wake back up for just a second here. God disciplines us so that we can share in His holiness. Verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You see what that's saying? That later on, it's not fun. It was not fun spanking my children. It was not fun when I had to get on to them. I didn't like it, but I knew it was necessary for them to grow up and be good men and women with self-control. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. He's looking down and he's talking to us through discipline sometimes. And why? So that it will produce a harvest of righteousness in our lives. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I didn't look that up in King James, but I did look it up in a couple others, and it said, is stupid. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I have to admit I probably lean more towards the stupid side because I don't like to be told anything. I'm just going to be honest. I think I already know everything. But in all honesty, y'all, when God's grabbing a hold of us and that discipline comes, do we stop and do we say, God, have I brought this on myself? God, is there rebellion in my heart? Is there sin in me? Lord, why is this happening? Or do we just whine and cry, oh, Lord, deliver me, take me out of this? Now, I was seeing something, and I watched this last week on television, and I thought it was for a different sermon. But as I was studying this, it made sense in my mind, and I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit it makes sense in your mind what I'm about to say. But last week, I was watching National Geographic or something and about the salmon run. And have you guys ever studied the salmon and what all they go through? It's amazing to me that, and I'm going to read some of this because I don't want to get it all wrong. And I had to look it back up because I get facts messed up here, okay? But they swim upstream and they battle against waterfalls, rapids, the current, grizzly bears, bald eagles, and fishermen are all trying to stop salmon from swimming upstream. Why do they fight so hard to get upstream? Well, it's to fulfill the purpose that's placed inside of them. It's to spawn and to continue the circle of life so there'll be more salmon come. And they face all these elements that some travel over 900 miles upstream and nearly 7,000 feet like elevation after wandering in the ocean. Some of them, you know, going way out in the ocean. What I found amazing, and I don't know if it's everyone, but they have determined that most all of them, even after being in the ocean, go back to their same stream, to their same spawning ground where they were born. Is that not amazing? These fish do that. And they battle and they fight and they go through all this to just fulfill the purpose that's been placed inside of them. And when I was reading about them and heard about that, they said only about 2% ever make it. Only about 2% between the grizzly bears and the bald eagles and fishermen and all that. Only about 2% ever make that. But I was just thinking about in my mind the trial that they go through to get there. And they don't let anything stop them. It's a purpose driven in them to swim upstream. And where I hope that this makes sense to you all is I was thinking about in our life that there's hopefully something inside of you that this isn't home. And we're swimming upstream for heaven, for something that's far away for some of us and not so far away for others. We don't know. But we're swimming home for heaven. We're swimming home for this purpose. We're swimming home and hopefully we're facing the bald eagles and the grizzly bears and the elevations and the current and all these trials that come to us. It made me think of Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And when I was thinking about all these things and the salmon and the trials and the struggles of our life, and so often people throw up their hands and say, I give up. You know, my best friend, he cheats on his taxes and he steps out on his wife and man, he's always got new stuff and money to burn and you know, my other friend, they, you know, it's like they never go to church and they're always at the lake and camping and having fun and they're doing all these things and their life seems fine. Their kids are good. And here it seems like every time I turn around, I'm sick and I'm struggling to even pay my electric bill. I can't afford It makes sense. Like, wide is the gate, though. And through our trials and through our struggles, sometimes we want to throw in the towel and say enough's enough. Why does everybody else's life seem so perfect and mine, it's just like, you know, if I shared with y'all my last 2 or 3 weeks, and you guys would probably just one-up me, you know. But I'm not lying. It's been one thing after another, and I was coming home Friday, my car broke down, and you know, we hail damage on our roof, just one thing after another, and what's crazy is I called Travis at Witcherville, my car started working right again. He goes, well, maybe you just need to keep talking on the phone to me, you know. And made it to Cherokee Tire, and I pulled in. My brother come pick me up. And we got to talking about it, and I was talking to Mark about it. And I prayed over it. And I went and picked my car back up before Cherokee Tire worked on it. And I drove it to church this morning, and it's working again. I don't know, but I'm scared to drive it too far. But it's just, Lord, why? You know, I hate to even say stuff like that because that's material things, you know. And please don't misunderstand me. I know there's people sick. There's people in the hospital. There's family members that, you know, that are hurting. And those are the people facing real trials. I'm just whining a little bit this morning, okay? Mine's not real trials. It's just frustrating when things break down, when things happen, right? Amen. But there's people really going through stuff. And when you're really going through stuff, just sometimes it's just one little thing after another, and then a big thing, then a little thing. And you just go, Lord, what's going on here? But I wonder if we're saying, God, I'm going to keep swimming upstream. I'm not going to stop. Lord, are you pruning me? Is there something in my life that needs to be taken out so that there's better fruit produced in me? Lord, are you trying to transform me into something beautiful, Father, so that I can live in righteousness and holiness? 2 Corinthians 12, 8, and 10, 8 through 10 says, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. This is Paul, and he says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, I heard a preacher say this week, and I thought it was so awesome, and I hope I can remember it and hang on to it. And he said that one time, when he was going to preach a sermon, that he had blown it the week before or the day before or something. And he said he really had no business to even preach that Sunday. And he said, you know what? It was one of the most powerful messages that I've ever preached, and lives were changed. He said when he got done and was alone and he began to pray, and he said, Lord, I don't understand. And he said, because it doesn't depend on you, it depends upon me. I thought, wow, that is awesome. You know, when I've blown it in the week and I've lost my temper and I've had a bad week and not lived up to the man that I should be, God's grace is still sufficient in our weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, I'm not promoting go blow it. That's not what I'm saying. Go blow it and say, okay, God, your power's good. No, that's not what I'm saying. But here he's saying that when we're struggling, when we're swimming upstream and the trials keep coming and the problems keep coming, God's grace is sufficient. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For many of us, I would say that the insults, the hardship, the persecutions, the difficulties would probably describe different things going on in our lives at different times. And can we stop and can we look at it and say, Lord, is this your discipline? Is this your pruning coming? Or, Lord, is this just the enemy attacking? But either way, I trust in you. Lord, if there's something in me that needs to be taken out, cut it. Take it off. Take it out. And yeah, just like that knife hurt my finger, you know. Well, that's probably not a good example because that really wasn't necessary. But you know, there's things in our life that need to be pruned out sometimes that's necessary. That's no longer producing good fruit. And it's trials and it's struggles that we go through, but are we going to continue on swimming upstream? Hebrews 12:10, we already read it, but he says, "Our Father disciplines us for a little while as they thought best." Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. Talking about our earthly fathers. "But God disciplines us for our good that we may share in His holiness." So my question to you is, are you going through something? Are you going through something in your life, in your personal life, at work, at home, in your finances, in your sickness, whatever? Are you going through something? Have you stopped and have you prayed? Say, "God, are you trying to show me something? God, is there something that I've done that's caused this?" Maybe there's not, but maybe there is, and maybe God's saying, it's time for pruning. Time for something to be taken away. Maybe it's an attack. And that's when we can say, "God, your grace is sufficient. That you can sustain me through all these things." We can plead with God to take it away from us, but sometimes the very thing we're pleading for God to take away from us, He knows best. Maybe that's the very thing that's keeping us so dependent upon God, that's keeping us right where we need to be. Crying out to Him daily. I would just encourage you this morning, if you're facing a trial, if you're facing a struggle, whatever it is you're facing, now's the time to ask God. Plead with Him. "God, help me. God, show me. God, reveal to me. There's things that I don't understand. There's things in my life that I've not understood. There's other things that a few weeks later down the road, a few months down the road, you went, oh, I get it now. I understand. There's other things I think we might not know till we get to heaven. But one thing I know is that I can trust in Jesus Christ." Let's stand. Lord, I thank You for Your Word this morning. And I pray that whoever's struggling this morning, whoever's facing a trial, God, that they wouldn't throw in the towel. That they wouldn't look at other people's lives that seem so perfect and think, "I want what they have, and Lord, they're not followers." But Lord, may we understand that You are a good Father. And that sometimes the struggles, sometimes the trials that we're going through is You just shaping us and pruning us and transforming us into the men and women that You desire us to be. Father, may we grab hold of that with everything in us. May we seek You, Lord, to know Your will. To know that we are in Your hands. Father, have Your way now. In each and every one of our lives. May Your Holy Spirit be at work to transform us into the righteous men, the righteous women that You've called us to be. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, if you're struggling, these altars are open. If you thought about throwing in the towel, don't. Keep swimming upstream. For narrow is the road that leads to everlasting. Don't give up. Ask God to speak to you this morning, to show you changes, things that need to be made in your life. How the Lord leads.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to rest.
Share this with you guys, and I didn't have my phone. It was something that Hayden had sent to me, so I went back and got Hayden's phone to share it real quick. And just thinking about trials and struggles in life, and sometimes you come to the end of your rope, I guess you could say. Well, Hayden had sent me Robbie Zachariah's obituary, and I don't know how many of you know Robbie, but he passed away a few weeks ago, and he went real quick, you know. But part of his obituary that I read, it so spoke to me. Last week when the tornado sirens was going off and the storms and all that, I kept thinking about what Robbie had said here, and I had complete and total peace. And it says, on a trip to a remote land, Robbie and his traveling companion's car broke down. The lone Jeep that passed them ignored their roadside waves. So they was waving at a Jeep. They're out in the middle of nowhere. This Jeep just drives right on by them. It says, they finally cranked the engine to life and set off, only to come across that same Jeep a few miles on, overturned and riddled with bullets, all four passengers dead. He later said of this moment, God will stop our steps when it is not our time, and He will lead us when it is. I so thought of that, because if you're broke down and someone passes you by, what? You're going to be mad. You're going to be upset. Why'd they do that? Not knowing that God was protecting you, or like He was protecting Robbie there, and that so spoke to me. God will stop our steps when it's not our time, and He will lead us when it is. Whatever you're facing, trust God. Trust that He is able. Y'all have a wonderful week, and pray that we'll make the right decisions with the church, the reopening and everything else. If you do want any of that wood, let me know before you leave, and I'll call Tom to make sure it's still there. I don't even care if, when I'm picking it up later in the week, to throw some to the side or in the back of my truck or whatever for you. But y'all have a blessed and wonderful afternoon.